Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. I'm Scott Bennett, your host. We are joined by the great Mike Harris. So we're going to be launching into a lot of the intelligence that is afflicting our country in so many different ways. We've got Maui, we've got Ukraine, we've got the United States, we've got the economic potential implosion that may be occurring as the BRICS meeting and the discussions of removing the petrodollar as the world reserve currency begin to increase. So many different things that are going to be happening. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mike, it is great to see you. Let's let you open us up by liberating the people, give them the truth that will set them free. What are the main topics you followed in the last week that you think need to be shot right out of the cannon? Go ahead.
Well, the news flash of the day is it appears that India is getting weak in the knees about launching a BRICS currency. And this was very predictable, that the Western banking cabal, you know, conglomerate, syndicate, if you will, was going to try to pick off some BRICS members. And so it appears that India has been the victim of their misinformation, disinformation, their persuasion. As we know, the Western banking syndicate is Jewish, and these guys will use bribery, they'll use blackmail, they'll use intimidation, murder, anything else they have. So we don't know what levers that they press to get India to buckle, but it appears that India is buckling. And so that is a development just happening real as we speak right now. So we're going to watch how this develops, but at the best case, all this does is buys the banking syndicate another month or three, which is okay. But because once this BRIC currency is announced and is backed by gold, what I've heard, 8 grams of gold be equal one BRIC, and one so that's almost $500. It's about, you know, $490 to get one BRIC. And if that's the case, now we know why. We have an explanation as to what's going on, as to why it's going to be delayed. If it is, you know, we don't know what Russia, China, and Brazil are going, South Africa are going to do to try to persuade India to, hey, you made a promise, you know, you've got to keep your word. And so we will see. But it's getting interesting. But this was a very predictable move by the banking syndicate, that they would do something like this. This is what they do. These people are the scum of the earth. You know, of course they're not going to let their you know, money machine die. Let the BRICS do that. So I'm sure that Putin and Xi have a counter offer or a counter plan that we'll have to see. But that is the hot news of the evening. I can't say the day because it didn't come in during the daylight. It came in the evening time. So that is the big story.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, first of all, I wouldn't trust Indians as far as I could throw them, not as a people necessarily, but I'm just saying on a cultural level. Churchill talked about that as well, and I've known them on a lot of different levels. And at the core, there is no integrity. There is no truth. There is no honor. They will stab you in the back as soon as talk to you. They will come on a car lot and try to buy it for nothing. It goes without saying. There's very little honor and integrity and honesty in their character. It's a spiritual darkness, of course, but I think Russia, understands that as well. They're in a strategic minds game, a strategic influence operations game. So they may, you know, I think they're fully prepared to let India fall short. Somebody's got to be in fourth place. Somebody's, you know, got to be, you know, they're not going to abandon India. You know, they're a fishing pole, and they're going to keep it in the water. They're going to keep India, and they're going to cultivate India and use them for something. They won't be, they're not a trusted, Ranger or Delta Force operator, but maybe they can still be part of the army flipping flapjacks or doing something. I think Russia recognizes that. Russians are very smart when it comes to, chess playing and persuasion. And the same thing with Africa. They're winning the hearts and minds of these countries. Only the bad behavior of the West you know, can lose them. And the West is notorious at that. Like you said, bribery, scandal, oppression, coercion. Look what they just did to Imran Khan, the Pakistani prime minister.
Absolutely. I mean, if people, if you don't know who Imran Khan was, he was a world-class soccer player and was the hero of Pakistan, truly the hero of Pakistan. You know, Gordon Duff compared him to being the JFK of Pakistan, that he was that popular, that revered, that well-loved. And for him to stand up for his country in spite of the opposition from the U.S.-placed military in there, was a big deal. And of course, they're pushing back. And it just tells you once again that the U.S. establishment, the Western establishment, is threatened on every front because they're losing and they're being exposed. And what the most critical element here, Scott, is that within our country, they're being exposed. We always were mom apple pie, let's wave the flag and celebrate the 4th of July because we have freedom. But we're discovering that we're not as free as we thought we were.
That's right.
And anyone who has served, but we're out fighting for our freedom. No, you're not fighting for your freedom. You're fighting to keep these clowns in power. And you're being used, and you're being used to pump up the profits of the military-industrial complex and to expand global influence. You're not being you're not fighting to keep anybody free. Our southern border is wide open right now. You want to fight for something? Fight to close that border off. You know, that is a worthwhile cause. I want to address that the immigration issue again later.
Let me ask one thing on the immigration issue, or we can postpone it. But I wanted to put as a accelerator of the invasion on the southern border, which is going to continue to happen. An accelerator could be EMP attacks into these third world countries of Ecuador, Panama, Belize, South America. You hit them with EMP or other attacks, you would naturally drive the natives up north, right? There's no electricity, there's no business, chaos is breaking out.
I don't agree with that 100% because the less developed you are, the less impact an EMP is going to have. It would have a greater impact on the United States, Canada, Europe, where it would drive people out of this area because, you know, the necessities, you know, the electricity, the flowing water, the highway systems, the trains, the airplanes, those no longer run. But if you're living in a village, in a hut with a dirt floor, and you cook over a fire and don't have phone service,
nothing changes.
The EMP is not going to affect you much. It's, you know, well, okay. You know, the TV doesn't work this week. Okay.
Now, you talked about the economic transformation that looks to be inevitable. It's like a Rubik's Cube, right? We're seeing the sides, blue, yellow, red, and we're waiting on the last side to change. Do you see before an economic adjustment, which would lead to the collapse of the petrodollar or a downgrading and things like that, do you see before they're able to, before that completes, the Biden left-wing Democrats such are going to initiate a war, are going to trigger a war, or a false flag to call a war, killing, I've said this, they're going to kill Kamala Harris, blame it on Trump supporter, then they're going to kill Joe, then they're going to put Gavin Newsom into the position, then they're going to kill Biden, perhaps standing next to Zelensky and blame that on Russia. So Newsom can then say, aha, now we all have to get in and go down to the draft board because we're going to war against Russia. Do you see them doing something before the economic collapse to, you know, to try and generate cover?
Well, I see a little different sequence of events. I see the economic collapse coming first, okay? And then what I see them doing, because they will be so hugely unpopular because they've driven the economy into the ground, is that is when Biden and whoever his handlers are going to detonate a nuclear weapon in the U.S. and then blame that on Russia and use that as the excuse to declare martial law and then use that as a reason to cancel the election, and it's Emperor Biden forever. Or until he dies and his successor takes over.
The Democrats
I see that as a more likely scenario, but I don't see any way to stop what's coming for the economic collapse here in the U.S. you look at the almost 33 trillion of on the books debt that we have. You look at the collapse of the commercial real estate, which is going to drag residential real estate with it. You look at the 200 trillion of unfunded government mandates that are out there that don't have any way of being paid. You look at the derivatives exposure in the multiple quadrillions of dollars, and the dollar has no intrinsic value. And it created so many of them now that will it be worthwhile to burn them? I mean, it's one of those things. If they all existed, in paper form, currency form, instead of electronic entries on a computer, would it be worthwhile to even incinerate them? You know, that's kind of where I see things at, because the dollar is dead. And so this thing with India right now, all that's going to do is delay that inevitable response here. Like I said, maybe 3-6 months. But there is going to be a commodity-backed currency, probably gold, silver, or perhaps a basket of commodities that determine what the wealth is. If you're a grain-producing country, you don't want to trade in gold. I'll trade you in grain for your oil. I'll trade you in grain for your manufactured goods. There isn't there's other ways around this. That's what Germany did that annoyed the Jewish banking syndicate so much. When they set up that deal to trade German tractors for Brazilian or Argentinian cattle. Mm-hmm. And that's what upset them, because, hey, without a means, without a currency, without an exchange other than goods for goods, those guys are out of business. And, an old Jewish business partner of mine said, the one thing you have to do is always control the middle. But if you eliminate the middle, they're out of a job. They gotta go to work for a living. They gotta figure out how to flip hamburgers or pump gas or something, wash cars. And they don't want to do that. They'd rather cheat you.
So. Well, on another level too, Maui, for example, let's go to Maui, because I was just on a show with Brian Davidson, Jim Fetzer, and one of the things he said was pretty profound, and I agreed with him. He said, I think they are preparing Maui, yes, for their 15-minute city experiments, but what it really could be is a transmigration of these elites like Oprah Winfrey and the rest of these Facebook and all this, to a island where they think that they are going to be
completely location.
Yes, protected and cut off. And that seems to be very, very commonsensical, where the elite would go, well, we're going to rebuild, Maui in our image and, facilitate an escape plan. And I would say, put it to you, Mike, everything we've seen about Maui indicates some form of directed energy weapon or other weapons. You disintegrate cars similar to the 9/11 car park that was showing all the cars burned and their engine blocks disintegrated. Same thing applied in Maui, cars in the middle of the street, protected by walls, yet somehow incinerated, and everything was wiped out. And I think you're going to generate a lot of awakening from that. But I'll put it to you about what's your thoughts on Maui in the last
week? Well, that is a logical thought progression. I can see where whoever authored it, whoever conceptualized it, has put some thought into it. I see where it makes perfect sense. Do I know what's going to happen? No, I have no insight there. I have no visibility on how these quote elites, and I wouldn't consider Oprah an elite. She's just a wealthy black is all she is. I mean, she's no more elite than the bottom of my shoe. Whenever I think of elites, I think of Delta Force. I think of Navy SEALs. I think of the guys who are out in an ODA. I think of Army Rangers. Yeah. I think of guys who are the best, the brightest, the sharpest. I mean, the most athletic, the most capable people. And right. Oprah is not an elite. I'm sorry, she's far from it.
Yeah, she makes Dopey Dwarf look like Einstein. There's some interesting videos and stuff. I wanted to play this one about the news that just came out today, and that was about something we've known about for a while, but it's interesting to see. That is the Ukrainian television crew that was found on the Capitol grounds that reported the the capital takeover. Let's watch this real quick. Now, this is a Ukrainian film. So that was the video, Mike. I'll let you comment on it.
Well, I don't know many MAGA type people who are populist who say no justice, no peace. That is famous in the left wing, particularly in the black segment of the left wing. And that is just not MAGA behavior. That's not how conservatives behave. I did think it was interesting that I noticed one guy had a Mish helmet on, the other guy had a high-rise helmet on, probably ballistic. And so why do you need to wear that and armor yourself up? If you look at their gloves, their hands, they're all hard knuckle gloves, which are combat material, combat issue these days for our soldiers and Marines. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta look at the detail. And when you see the detail, it's incongruent with the average age of a Trump supporter is 58 years old, and it goes up. These guys are all younger. They're between 19 and 25.
Yeah.
And they're full of piss and vinegar. This is not your MAGA crowd. No. And once again, I want to point out a key issue here, because the quote riot, the insurrection, the fake insurrection, didn't start until Representative Paul Gosar of my home state of Arizona filed his motion and announced he had it signed by himself, another congressman, and a senator. So they had the legal standing, constitutional legal standing, to demand that the electors be examined. And it didn't happen. And that's when things happened. And that's when Pelosi pulled the bait and switch. She knew it was coming. She knew it was coming. She was ready for it. In fact, she probably paid for it with our tax dollars. And these people never spend their own money. They'll spend our tax dollars to topple our own government. Mm-hmm. But they knew it was coming. But those are not MAGA people. That's not what the MAGA movement does. That's not what the MAGA movement is all about. We're all about peacefully retaking the country. And these people are putting us into a corner. I mean, we are cornered now. The schoolyard bully is getting ready to punch us. And we can take the punch. If you take one, you're going to take 10 or 12, or you can punch back. But my rule of thumb is, and I've been training a long time. So if I take the first punch on somebody, I might go to jail. I've been sued before for destroying someone. And I don't want to go that route again. So I always wait until the first contact is made. And so I think we as a people, if this is going to go violent, we have to wait until the bad guys take the first punch.
Yes.
Then we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the right to defend our country, our families, the Constitution. We are within our rights to do all of those things. They do not have legal standing to do anything about it. But like I said, look at these guys. Look at the helmets. Look at the helmets. Look at the gloves they're wearing. Look at the guy with his hand up there on the wall. Look at the gloves they've got on. Pay attention. See the guy with his phone there? Look at those gloves. Those are hard knuckle gloves.
Yes, right.
That's right. Combat gear, brother.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that was interesting was when I was back in November of 2020 doing some of the analytics and meeting with the other people that were back in Washington, there were so many people that were behind the scenes looking at this for Trump. One of the attorney generals from Oklahoma or Kansas was back there. There was Tony Schaefer. There was Pat Burgee, Sidney Powell, Giuliani, of course, General Flynn, General Flynn's brother, Pat Byrne. And one of the reports I gave was the AFL-CIO has been secretly working with a senior executive service to engage in disruption operations. I have secret documents. Here they are. Get them to Trump. Here's what they're planning on doing. They were doing this from September right up to the event. They were planning on all sorts of shutdowns and Antifa operations. And that was back in November of 2020. And January 6th was exactly a fulfillment of what we predicted. And this is important because they're trying to charge Trump with inciting this. No, we were presenting material that they were going to do this. And Trump, of course, was being given all of this material. So he was not inciting a riot. He was actually warned very well ahead of time. But the other thing was, you mentioned, Mike, that I want to confirm. I was at an event in Chicago this past weekend with Loy Brunson and others. And I might say a lot of people came up to me, Mike, and said, "We love Mike Harris." There's a lot of people that came up to me and said, "Oh, I watch you and Mike Harris, and I love seeing you guys talk." So you've got a lot of respect, and people really appreciate your strategic thinking and analytical skills. Yeah, they really do appreciate you. And Loy Brunson had, his case is...
Scott, look, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys have helmets on right there. Two of us went through, there's two of them here. This is combat gear these guys are wearing. You don't wear combat gear to a peaceful protest to support your president because the election was stolen. These guys are miscreants in here, but please go ahead. Don't let me interrupt. I apologize.
Well, it's a Ukrainian squad operation. And these are Ukrainian mercenaries that were brought over and part of this, if not, also American Antifa BLM types. But Loy Brunson has filed his case, and it is going to the Supreme Court, that said all of this material was given to your guy Gosar, and I gave Gosar my reports. I sent it to him and his staff. They know who I am. And Gosar presented to the United States Congress a national security threat. The election was violated. The election, among other things, has the Chinese Communist Party and the Union Bank of Switzerland conspiring with Paul Wolf, chairman of the Americas, conspiring to purchase ESNS, Premier, and Dominion voting machines through Staple Street Capital. That's a national security risk. So therefore, any election needs to be hyper-filtered and reevaluated to make sure that there's no Chinese Communist Party, ESNS, Premier, Dominion, UBS violations. And because the members of Congress did not, upon notice by Gosar, take a form of investigation, they were aiding and abetting the very national security threat that Gosar was warning of, and they violated their oath. And as a result of their oath being violated, they do not have the right to be in Congress. They should be immediately removed. Essentially, this is being put by Loy Brunson's case to the Supreme Court. But I wanted to put that in, that there are legal constitutional remedies that are now rising to the surface that expose all of this stuff that we saw. Mike, I'll hand it back to you.
Well, Scott, thanks. And the kind words from the other people is good, but really that is one linchpin right there that we have. And that is where this little homosexual pedophile, Mike Pence, failed the American people. He failed us. with his abdication of his duty, and then he tries to blame it on that Trump wasn't following the Constitution, when in fact it was Mike Pence who was not following the Constitution. And if you don't think he's a homosexual, take one look at his wife. Ooh-wee. I mean,
yeah. You know,
good God, I'm going a little off script here. I apologize. I'm being nasty. I shouldn't be. I should be more genteel.
No, I think you're right. Look, he shot himself in the foot when Tucker Carlson said, wait a minute, there are all these breakdowns of the border. Their cities are in ruin. Drugs are in ruin. Americans are being killed in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, by fentanyl. All of this social disruption is occurring, and yet you're more concerned about sending tanks to Ukraine, which most people can't find on a map. You're more interested in that. What about the American interest? And what was his reply, Mike?
I don't care about that. Exactly what he said. Well, you know, Scott, let me, everyone who's ever flown on an airplane, you know, a commercial jet, you know, they have this little drill that the flight attendants have to go through. They say, if there's a depressurization, the mask falls down, they first say, put your own mask on first, and then help the person next to you. And the rationale behind that is, if you get your own mask on, then you can help someone else. If you do not get your mask on, someone's going to have to help you. And so we need to take care of our own business here, so we're able to go out and help other people in the world. And right now, we're not taking care of our own business. You know, with this open border down there, the drug problem, the fentanyl, the illegal aliens. And I wanna really talk about the illegal aliens, because I wanna talk about the long-term effects they're going to have on this country, which are not good. But you know, the whole thing is, we have to take care of ourselves and our country first and foremost. And somehow that message has been lost, where we're neglected. Why are we sending money to Ukraine? We sent, what, $115 billion? We could use that money here right now. I mean, how many homeless could we have gotten off the street? How many miles of wall could we have built? How much more effective could our border security be? How many more schools could we have put up? How much more infrastructure could be built that's going to relieve congestion and traffic and make our power grid more robust so it can withstand an EMP, that our schools are better, that our kids get a better education. You know, we need that money here at home because we have priorities that have been neglected, and we're not taking care of ourselves, of our own, of our home, of our country here. And we have to start with the fundamentals, and that is, we need a secure border. And then we need to build up from there. And I really want to spend a little bit of time on the border tonight, because I just mentioned the long-term consequences.
Let me just add to preface it. The border is the control of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. Those are their sovereign republics. And those governors can send military, militia, posses, National Guard, retired soldiers, Boy Scouts, whoever they want, down to police that border. The border of Texas and these other states are not the federal governments. The federal government may have allegedly an assignment to protect the continental United States, but Abbott can essentially say, and the governors can say, not one person is going to step across this border. The state of Texas is going to arrest them on the spot and prevent any federal agency from facilitating and aiding and abetting an invasion into the United States. Can't they do that?
Well, Scott, let's take it a little further. All right, so they arrest them. Then what? We need to start building internment camps for these people and use the model that Joe Arpaio used in Maricopa County, Arizona, of the tent city.
Yes.
And putting these people up in hotels and making sure they get 3 square meals a day, and they have air conditioning, they've got airplane tickets, and the taxpayer pays for this meal. We put them in internment camps, and if there is labor needed on the farms,
yes,
then the state can lease these people to the farmers who sure need the labor, and then the state can recoup some of their cost.
Yes.
And let's use that
model. That should be an automatic assumption. If you come into this country aiding and abet, you know, illegally, you automatically get a year as a labor, you know, in labor, to recoup the cost that the United States and the state of Texas or whatever has suffered.
Well, I don't want to give him a year. I want to eject him as soon as we can.
Yes.
But the other weak point here, we have some weak points that we have laws on the books that are not being enforced. Anyone who aids and abets an illegal in this country is committing another set of felonies.
That's right.
And so why are these NGOs, these Catholic charities, and all these groups helping them without consequence, without repercussions? Mm-hmm. These people need to do some hard time for helping destroy our country. Number one, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that who's hiring these people? If you read the Simpson-Mazzoli Act of 1986 that Reagan signed, mm-hmm. it states in there that the employers are going to be held accountable for hiring them, that they're going to pay a $3,000 fine and 6 months in jail. But yet, I don't see anybody at Tyson Food doing any time. I don't see anybody at Marriott Corporation doing any time. You know, they get away with it. I don't see any of these small mom and pop restaurants who have Mexican dishwashers or illegal alien dishwashers doing any time. So the contract that Simpson-Mazzoli made as a law to the American people has been violated. Ergo, if the contract is violated, the amnesties that were granted should also be null and void. And anyone who entered this country and received an amnesty should also be ejected and deported. No exceptions. So there's some issues on that, but I really do have a more fundamental issue here to get to. Now, I sent you an article today about gun violence among youth in the country.
Yes.
And the record number of gun violence and how many are shooting each other. But if you read the article, it says 83% of that gun violence is Black America. Black kids are shooting each other. The Black kids are shooting each other. You know, between 5 and 19, they're killing each other, and they're blaming that on the guns. And you know, we've got 13% Black population, and yet they commit 48% of the rapes, and they're committing 83% of the gun violence of the youth. We've got a Black problem in this country. Now, let me swing this back to the illegal immigrants coming in. Whether they're Black, whether they're Haitian, whether they're Mexican or Honduran or Guatemalan, these people have low IQs, and most of them are not literate in their own language. These Hispanics who are coming up here, and I hate to call them Hispanics, it's really they're mestizos, but they come up here and they can't read and write in Spanish. They can speak. They speak some slanglish, you know, some stuff that they understand, they all communicate, but they can't read and write. And what is the long-term effects of having the average Hispanic IQ is around 85. The average Black is between 75 and 80. What is the long-term effects when a quarter of our population by the year 2050 is going to be Hispanic from illegal immigrants?
Idiocracy.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so we're dumbing down the country. We're creating an intellectual burden that the rest of us are going to have to carry. I'll probably be dead, you know, from old age, or somebody put a bullet in my head or something.
Well, look, Mike, it's not only that, it's the criminal derivatives. It's the metastasization.
I agree, but take that element out. Let's say there was no criminality. We still are going to have 25% and 13% is 38% of our population that doesn't perform the standard intellectually.
Imbeciles.
And how do we as a society carry them? We cannot.
No, you can't.
We cannot. We're going to be with a bunch of dumb shits out there who don't have the intellectual horsepower to be educated.
Well, you're going to have a tribalization. You're going to have societies and communities and towns separate and affirm the separation through, no, we're not going to allow imbeciles, idiots, criminals, or all of the above to come into our town or go to our schools or be part of this community. We are not a community of idiots, and we're not having any association or relationship with idiots. The idiot town can do their own thing. You want to be in drugs? You want to be in the Seattle Chaz zone, or the burn down your own Target in your own grocery store in Minneapolis, wherever the Black Lives Matter, Black Rage, all that stuff was? You do that. You want to be escaped from New York? You live in New York, but you're not leaving and coming into our community or town, or you're gonna be pushed out in a barrow.
You're gonna bump right into the problems that we have with you know, Lyndon Johnson and the Fair Housing Act and all that, where there can be no discrimination. I mean, you know, St. Louis, for instance, I remember when Ferguson was all white and now it's all black. And so they can't survive among their own. No. You know, if we took every black in the country and gave them 13% of the land mass, so here, this is yours, do what you want. Build your own schools, build your own businesses, build your own law enforcement, write your own laws. It's all yours, your own banking system, everything, it's yours. We come back in 6 months and we'd have Haiti.
Yes. You know,
yes. That's what you'd have.
Yes.
And so, you know, they need us to survive. We do not need them. They would have Haiti and they would be starving.
Yep.
And we'd be seeing commercials on every TV. Oh, donate too, because they're starving. I don't care if they starve. I really don't. I want to avoid them at all costs.
Right.
You know, I want them to do well. I want them to prosper, but I want them to do it on their own without dragging me down to their level. Yep. I want my kids and my grandkids, when I have them, to be able to go to a school where they can excel and they're not held back by the stupid kids in the class.
Yes.
Okay. I want them to be able to maximize their own potentials. I don't care about somebody else's kids.
Yes.
The other big thing in that article I sent you about gun violence, about youth gun violence. Mm-hmm. I love how the liberals write this shit. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about the failure of black parenting.
Yeah.
I don't blame that all on the blacks. I blame a lot of it on the blacks, but I blame it on Lyndon Johnson and the welfare state that was erected and set up to support this, because it was set up to cripple the black family. And potential for blacks has gone down
the
country since those laws were enacted to make things better. Mm-hmm. Now, the big failing we have as a country is that we keep trying to get equal outcomes. Saying that we're all equal, we've got to destroy that lie. We are not equal. We're all different, and as such, we have to be treated differently according to our own capabilities and abilities that we have inherently within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you've got a brilliant, you know, black young man, young woman, they deserve to go to the very best school that their intellect will carry them to. But you don't put them into a good school and drag down the rest of the class because you've got 5 or 10 of them in there that are disruptive and no one else can learn anything because they keep acting out in class.
Yes.
We've got to have an ability to have structure and discipline within the classrooms. And we have to start treating kids like kids and disciplining them. When they're being little spoiled brats, treat them like they're spoiled brats. I don't care if they come from a poor background or not. Hey, you're going to act up. You're going to pay the price for it, bub. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
You know, there's something else that just came on. I wanted to bring that I think fits in with a lot of what you're talking about. And this was an article, Can You Feel 10 Signs That Things in America Have Reached a Breaking Point?
Yes, good article.
I'll just read a little bit of it. If you're listening to what the American people are saying right now across the political spectrum, people are reaching a breaking point and are fed up with life under the Biden regime. From being unable to afford groceries or gas, kind of what you talked about, to watching powerful corporations promote pedophilia and child mutilations, events that were once unimaginable are becoming commonplace. And the officials, quote unquote, in power seem more disconnected from the plight of everyday people than ever before. I agree with that. You can see it in the crazy plane lady video, in the flash mob shoplifting footage caught on camera, in the suicide numbers and mental illness episodes that increasingly flicker across our screens. From the mom who thinks her son identifies as a cat and therefore should be medically seen by a veterinarian, to the outrageous indictment of Donald J. Trump for the felony crime of tweeting, it's clear to anyone paying attention that America is suffering a psychic breakdown. Well, we've been saying that for a long time.
Let me interject here, because this is a really good segue right here, because what we're doing in this country is we're allowing this leftist Marxist ideology to dictate their conception of reality. We're not looking at facts. We're not looking at figures. We're not studying the statistics. We're not looking at the data. We're trying to talk our way into making these things the reality. Well, reality doesn't work that way. They don't care how much you promote it, how much you sell it. it cares what you can observe and what you can measure. And we need to get back to a little bit of this, because when you've got a 13% of the population is dysfunctional, those flash mobs, for instance, when you, I mean, you look at the perpetrators, the flash mobs, I don't see any white kids. I don't see any white thugs. All I see is Negroes. All I see is blacks.
Yep.
Every time it's all blacks.
Yep.
You look at the carjackings, you look at the violence on the street. It's mostly whites being victimized by blacks. They've become the predators.
Yes.
And if you defend yourself, then you're either swarmed by a gang of, you know, five and up, you know,
yep.
More, and you get the shit out of you. Or if you use firearms or some other weapon, then you're prosecuted as a criminal yourself for defending your life. Mm-hmm. And so we've really got ourselves into a pickle here, and it's time to start breaking the rules and not living according to the way they want us to. It's time for us to, you know, stand up and defend what we are as a people. I mean, collectively, would I like to see this country get along? And yes, I would. I would like to see peace and tranquility. I would like to see blacks doing as well as they do on TV, but that's not the reality. You know, I don't see many black CEOs or black generals or black surgeons. You know, they just don't cut it. But I do see a lot of black thugs. I see a lot of black drug dealers. I see a lot of black pimps. I see a lot of that going on. And I feel bad for the people out there who are of color, who are trying hard to do the right thing and not making much progress, only to have their kids get sucked into the vortex of gangs and gang violence. And so that's really a tragedy. And so we need to start at least talking about the problems that reality has presented to us, and not trying to create solutions according to this Marxist dogma that wants an outcome that's never going to be here. I mean, you know, Marxism is a set of lies in order to take power from the system that is here now and give it to a new system where everyone is equally oppressed, everyone's equally poor. And you take the incentive out for the best and brightest to stop trying because there's no upside for them. And we need our best and brightest. They are the most important. Now, the other big anomaly here that our society does is, you know, how many teachers do you know out there who, I teach special ed kids. I teach kids who aren't going to be able to flip a hamburger, is what she's telling me. I teach the ones in that can't hold their bladder or their bowels.
Yes.
I teach special ed. Really, we're wasting money on them. You're spending three times the amount as you spend on the brightest kids.
Yeah.
You know, the most oppressed minority in this country is our high IQ kids, whether they're Asian or white or black, doesn't matter what color.
Show me the incentive.
Yes.
They're the most mistreated because they're put in the class with the disruptive dummies who aren't going to get an education and aren't going to allow them to get an education either. And we're spending our money in all the wrong ways, doing all the wrong things, because it buys votes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
how many white guys you see in there? How many white people you see doing this? I don't see any.
I tell you, I would love, let's watch that again. I'd love to see someone with a gun, machine gun, shotgun, dogs go after these people.
Well, you know, Scott, I traveled the world extensively. When I was in the Philippines, there's a place called Makati, which is a high-end part of Manila. And I went to a shopping mall there, and outside of every other store, there's two young men with M16s. Now, yes. not M4s, M16s. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. But they were there, and they were on armed guard to avoid situations just like this. But
this is the society's breaking point. This is where, and again, there's a great video of the Sikh shop owner beating with a rod the shoplifter. There we go. We had some interference. So that's part of the story. Well, I lost your sound, Mike, so I'm just going to read this until you jump back in. 10 signs that the American people have reached a breaking point. The lawless Democrats are drunk with power and are making mockery of the rule of law in their desperate attempts to stop Trump by charging him with absurd made-up crimes while ignoring rampant bribery of the Biden crime family. Never mind the fact that Democrats denied election results more than 150 times, all without being criminally charged, before Trump was indicted for the very same thing. Newt Gingrich summarized the current political situation rather aptly, stating, and this is a good video. I'm going to play this right here.
Joining us now, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, you know, I'm getting into this moment of time here, and I think Ted Cruz at the start of this hour really, really honed in on your area of expertise. You are a former professor, and you are a historian by trade. Not a politician, because I know you so well. And when you think of the history of this great republic, and this has never happened, let alone one time, but now this is the fourth time to a former president, and also the chief rival, the leading rival, opposition rival to the current president that's running for re-election. It does add a lot of historical significance here. Your reaction to that part of it?
Well, I think what you're seeing tonight is one tree in a forest. And I think we are drifting towards the greatest constitutional crisis since the 1850s and the rise of secession and the Civil War. I don't mean that as hyperbole. If you read Andy McCarthy's remarkable book, Ball of Collusion, which came out in 2019, he makes very clear that it is Barack Obama who corrupts the Justice Department. It is Hillary Clinton who routinely breaks the law and gets away with it. And now we have Joe Biden who's learned. He's learned from Obama that doesn't matter what you do, if you're a liberal Democrat, you will not be prosecuted. He learned from Hillary that a person in high public office can get millions and millions of dollars. And they learned from watching Donald Trump that a true outsider willing to take on the entire system could destroy their entire machine. So what you're seeing across the country is a desperate last-ditch effort by a corrupt machine to destroy their most dangerous opponent in a way which not only breaks the Constitution, destroys the rule of law, and establishes a moment of bitterness which I think will last for a generation or more. I think this is going to be a horrendous period, and we just need to understand the people who want to control America and dictate to the rest of us will break any law, lie about any topic, and manipulate the system any way they can, and that includes a lot of the elite news media.
Let me ask you, Mr. Speaker, this question, because we are now heading into the very busy political season. That means caucuses, that means primaries. We know the special counsel in the Washington, D.C. case has stated publicly he'd like that trial to begin on January 2nd. That is headed right up and butted right up against the Iowa caucuses, following the New Hampshire primary, following that South Carolina, you know, heading into Super Tuesday. How is it possible that if Donald Trump wants to even continue his run for the nomination, how does he thread that needle and navigate, you know, the complications that obviously would go along with that?
You know, what his enemies don't understand is that Donald Trump's not a candidate. He is the personification of a national movement. That's what you saw when the two governors went to the racetrack the other night in Iowa, and people began booing both of them, including the very popular governor of Iowa. That's what you saw at the state fair. You weren't seeing a normal candidate. You were seeing a person who personifies for 45 or 50% of the country their hope that they can save the country from what they see as a stunningly corrupt, bad machine trying to control their lives. So let me give you an example. In 1978, when I was running and finally winning after two defeats, Dick Cheney was running for the first time in Wyoming. He had a heart attack. His wife helped invent cardiacs for Cheney. And so people who had heart problems all over Wyoming began campaigning for Dick because he was in a hospital recovering. I think if they get Donald Trump locked into a room, they're going to find 5, 10, 15 million Americans willing to campaign as Trump surrogates, willing to go out there and say, I'm going to work for him because I'm not going to let him be defeated by a totally corrupt person. But I'll go a step further. I really believe that the Republicans in the House should cut off Jack Smith's money. I think that his last day on the payroll should be September 30th. They should do whatever it takes to close down this entire anti-constitutional, ruthless breaking of the law in the most I think this is so dangerous to the very survival of the Republic that it has to be stopped.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Speaker, because we have really significant, serious allegations. I went through a list of lies that candidate and President Joe Biden told the American people. He lied when he said that he never once spoke to his son about his foreign business dealings or his brother or, quote, anybody for that matter. He said it as a candidate. He said it as a president. Then we're looking at, you know, a phone call December 4th of 2015. And this is Joe Biden getting a phone call with Hunter and Burisma executives. Hunter, of course, by his own admission, admitted addicted to drugs at the time. He's doing these, you know, multi-million dollar deals with many countries, many of which don't even like us at all. And yet he admits on Good Morning America he has no experience, but he's doing energy deals with China, with CEFC, and energy deals with Burisma. Well, then as a result of that phone call on December 4th, 2015, that set into motion what ultimately became Joe Biden, vice president, leveraging $1 billion taxpayer dollars in Ukraine, saying you've got 6 hours to fire a prosecutor. Who's the prosecutor? A guy by the name of Viktor Shokin. Who's Viktor Shokin? The guy that was investigating Burisma that was paying Joe Biden's son what was ultimately millions of dollars. So, son of a bee, within 6 hours, they fired the guy. The investigation stops. Ukraine got their billion in loan guarantees. And guess what? Hunter Biden continued to be enriched and continue to get paid by Burisma, again, while he is admittedly a drug addict and also a guy that admits he had no experience in energy, oil, gas, coal, or Ukraine. Can you explain that to me? Can you explain these shell corporations that Comer's committee has found? Can you explain what Hunter and the grandchildren did for these millions? Because apparently they all got paid.
Look, you're making it too complicated. They're crooks. They lie. Since they're crooks and they lie, what you just described were crooks who were lying. Now, the problem for the American people is we really can't quite believe that people in public office, I mean, Hillary's the same way. Hillary made $37 million as Secretary of State by selling 20% of America's uranium to a Russian company, which gave the Clinton Foundation $37 million. They just lie. These people are bad people doing bad things, and that's why we're headed towards the greatest constitutional crisis since the Civil War, because at least half the country now, despite every effort of the New York Times and every effort of the Washington Post and every effort of the big networks, the country itself is beginning to come to grips with the fact that they have in the White House a corrupt family which has been willing to sell out America to China, Russia, Ukraine, Romania, Kazakhstan, and then lie about it. They had a Secretary of State doing the same thing.
But we're not waiting for an indictment on the Bidens to be handed down tonight. Just the opposite happened. And this is where, again,
of course,
the Judiciary Committee is looking into weaponization and how the FBI and DOJ may have been politicized. that we're not looking at a possible indictments just handed down a little less than an hour ago as it relates to the Biden family. No sweetheart deal was given to Biden by the guy that Merrick Garland just appointed special counsel. After he was been investigating this issue for 4 years, he was given a little tap on the wrist, no jail time. And, oh, by the way, anything else you might have done wrong in that time period, that is all that'll all go away.
Sean, you know I love you. You know we have a great, wonderful friendship.
But,
like almost every American, you keep coming back and describing this as though it's complicated and as though it's difficult to understand. This is a drama. It's a Greek tragedy. What we have is a system, the current president, President Obama, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, leaders in the Justice Department, leaders in the FBI, leaders in some of our major news media, and this system is corrupt. Now, everything you just described is perfect, isn't it? If you start in the morning and you say, gee, I wonder what the corrupt system did today, one, to protect itself, and two, to try to destroy its major opponent. The rest of the day works out pretty well. You understand exactly what's happening. It's not complicated. It's just bad. And it's scary. And it should scare us because it threatens the very fabric of the American constitutional system.
Do you anticipate with now what will be 4 indictments against Donald Trump, 4 arraignments of Donald Trump, and in the case of Georgia in Fulton County, we both lived in Georgia. We met in Decatur, Alabama, but we really got to know each other, and I was the MC of your event the night you became speaker. Do you believe, I do not, for example, believe that New York City, the jury pool of only 12% of Trump voters is going to be fair to Donald Trump. I don't believe a little over 5% in D.C. I think it's going to be hard to get a fair jury panel in D.C. And Fulton County, I think, is about 24% that voted for Donald Trump. Do you think he can get a fair trial in Fulton County? You're from Georgia.
Look, there's a simple test. Challenge these left-wing crazies to try Donald Trump in West Virginia. Now, if it's okay to try him in D.C. where he got 5% of the vote, why isn't it okay to try him in West Virginia where he got 70%? And of course, none of them would want to try him in West Virginia because you could never convict him, period. And the fact is the average American knows if you're in a jury pool, which was 19-1 for Biden over Trump, that is not a fair jury. That's not an honest jury. That's not a jury of your peers. That is a rigged game by a really bad person. Remember, Jack Smith was repudiated unanimously by the Supreme Court for destroying Governor Bob McDonald. He literally changed the law in order to destroy Governor McDonald, and the Supreme Court repudiated him. Didn't help McDonald. He was out of office. He had already been smeared. But this is the guy they chose, and then he chose D.C. at 19-1 against Trump in order to try this case. It just tells you that this is a corrupt system doing corrupt things, and frankly, I think Republicans are going to have the guts to stand up and say, no, this is over. And the first place to do that is the budget started and just cut off the money on September 30th.
All right, Mr. Speaker, we really appreciate you being with us.
Well, there you have it from Newt Gingrich. I think a very powerful statement. I don't agree with everything Newt Gingrich has said or done. I don't agree with his previous animosity against Russia and President Trump when Vladimir Putin had invited the Department of Justice to go to Russia to determine the facts and the evidence that would have shown and proven beyond any doubt that Russia had nothing to do with the election interference in 2016. Yes, Russia was involved with uranium purchases through the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton State Department that Hillary Clinton was never charged with and should have been charged with. She should have been executed for treason for half a dozen crimes. So should Obama, the homosexual with his man lover, Michael LaVon Robinson, who is not a female. That is not Michelle Obama. It's a man. We've exposed that numerous times. So did the comedian Joan Rivers, of course, and she mysteriously came to an end. We can't be joined, sadly, with Mike Harris. His computer has again been blocked. It seems like the deep state doesn't like what we're having to say. But in any case, we wanted to play that clip, and we will play more, of course. So We thank you for joining us on GlobalFreedomTV.com. I'm Scott Bennett, your host, Global Great Awakenings, and we thank our wonderful producer, Tong, for getting this out and translating it into so many different languages that people need. We are inspiring one mind at a time and contributing to the renaissance of our country. So we thank you for your support. Contact us at GlobalFreedomTV.com. Email us. We welcome your feedback. We welcome your comments on the Rumble channel. And we read everyone, although we don't can always respond. We certainly appreciate your affection, your support, your faith, and your prayers. Pray without ceasing. Remember, I am the Lord thy God, who teacheth thee to profit. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Pray for Donald John Trump, our president, that God uses him in the way that is pleasing to God, however that may be. And may the Lord keep you and bless you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. We will see you tomorrow. God bless you. Good night.